Welcome to Positive Empowering Bird Stories by The Bird Coach. I'm Anne Bleu, a mother of two and living on the beautiful island of Mallorca. I'm a pre, post and bird doula and lactation consultant. These podcasts are for everyone pregnant to empower yourself and look forward to experience your own birth. Welcome. Today we have Kate Howe with us, and I'm super excited because this is the first podcast where I'm interviewing somebody. So let's see how it goes. Kate is an osteopath here on the island of Mallorca and a first-time mother. Her son Nico is 1 year now, and we're going to talk about her bird story. So welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You want to say a little bit more, tell a little bit more about yourself before we start?
Yeah, so I'm originally from the UK, and I moved to Mallorca 3.5 years ago. And I work as an osteopath here on the island. And my main specialty is working with pregnant women and postpartum women, and also babies and children as well. So I have always been interested in birth, the whole process, the preparation, about pregnancy as well. So it was super exciting when I got pregnant.
Can you tell us a little bit about your pregnancy, how that was for you? Was it easy, or you had you, just a little
bit? My pregnancy was amazing, actually. I felt great throughout the whole thing. I stayed really active. I was still working in the clinic in Palma until I was, I think, about 7.5 months. And I chose to finish work relatively early, I suppose. I know lots of people nowadays work right up until the birth almost, but because I'm self-employed and because my job as an osteopath is quite physical, it just wasn't physically possible for me to be moving people around with a big bump. So it meant that I had about 8 weeks of maternity leave before Nico was actually born, which was really nice because by that time I had obviously planned what birth I wanted, which was a home birth with you and with Jessica, the midwife that you work with. And it was important to me to kind of prepare mentally for the birth. And I felt like, because through my job, it's obviously caring for other people, it was really nice that I then sort of kept that to one side, paused that for a moment, and I could really concentrate on caring for myself and really prepping for what was to come, which is amazing. But then when I reached 40 weeks, I'd then had 8 weeks to prepare and was ready to go. And the baby was not. So actually, I always say to people, my pregnancy was amazing. And in the end, Nico came at 41 plus one.
Yes, I did.
I'm looking at Anne to confirm. She remembers better than me. So he came at 41 plus one. And I actually found that 1 week harder than the 40 previous weeks.
Yeah, a lot of women find that hard, although it's very normal to go over your due date.
It's completely normal. And in fact, I'd even said, I remember going to the pregnancy circles with you and saying, oh, he'll probably come in January, because my due date was December the 26th, so right around Christmas. And everyone kept saying, oh, a Christmas baby, what a great Christmas present. And every time I said, oh no, he'll come later, he'll come in January. I don't know whether it was me preparing myself or whether I just had a feeling. But so even though I expected to go over due, I still found it really, really difficult to go a week over.
And a little bit, because it was your first baby and you decided on a home birth, what is something that is not happening so often? Mm-hmm. Usually it's second or third babies.
Yeah.
Because it's normal, because you never did it, you never experienced it. How did you come to the decision to go for a home birth?
As I said, I've always been really interested in birth, and through my job, I knew quite a lot about the kind of physical process of birth and labour. And so really for me, I just knew that knowing my body, and also knowing that me personally, I always react a bit negatively to hospitals. I feel my blood pressure go up. Mm. I feel myself not relaxed. It made a lot of sense for me to be in an environment that I felt really comfortable in. Also, during my pregnancy, COVID was still really high. And there was lots of rules in hospitals about masks and partners being allowed in. So that played a role as well. Yeah. But that wasn't the main reason. It just kind of confirmed it for me. But the one thing that I had to be sure about was that my partner, my husband, was on board. Because although I had always dreamed of a home birth, and I had some friends in the UK that had had home births and always spoke so positively about it, so I had that positive influence as well. I had to make sure that my husband was completely on board, because my worst case scenario would be if I pushed for a home birth, he was nervous.
Yes.
And then I could see him, the nervousness in his eyes. I thought, no, I want to avoid that situation.
Yeah, I remember. I remember with the prenatal visits that he was very much involved, because a lot of things through your work you knew already.
Yeah.
But it was a little bit, the prenatal visits were a little bit more for him as well, no, to prepare him.
Exactly. That's what I was really keen for your role to be, actually, was kind of educating him, because he wouldn't listen to me as much. It's better coming from another person.
Always, yeah.
And I think that's what's really nice about your work, is that you're really preparing in so many different ways, like the mother, the baby, the partners, whoever needs it. So yeah, for us, it was nice that you can offer that service to really get partners involved.
Yeah, no, it's so important to have your partner on board, especially with a home birth, no, because they're much more involved, I think, in general.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Good, great. And yeah, so let's go to the birds.
Mm-hmm.
So you, like you said, you were 41 weeks and a day, so very
yes.
ready.
So very
so well. How did it start then?
So first at 41 weeks, which is a Saturday, I remember, the 2nd of January, and I was keeping busy. So I had turned WhatsApp off my phone, I turned messages off my phone, I wasn't listening to anyone because that was driving me mentally crazy. And me and my husband went to the gym that day, and it's great because we have a photo of us in the gym.
Yeah.
So I obviously have a big bump. I saw a friend there, we went for coffee, it was quite relaxed. It was yeah, it was a nice way to just spend some time. I didn't really do anything at the gym. It was more just to go and get out the house. I remember doing lots of bear crawls,
yeah,
and squats,
yeah,
just thinking at least I can do something, feel like I'm being active, proactive. And then after lunchtime, I started getting what were like period cramps, and I got excited. But then I had a lie down, I think I had a nap, and they went away. So I thought, okay, fine, don't get excited. And then in the evening, they came back again. But by that point, I thought, no, I'm not going to put anything, not going to think about it, because it's probably nothing. And I remember I was making dinner. I made a fish pie, which was quite a lot of effort, peeling potatoes,
yeah,
and chopping everything and preparing a sauce. And I was getting uncomfortable, stood up, which is the first time in my whole pregnancy I'd been uncomfortable, basically. And I went to bed, and these kind of period-like cramps were still there, and they started getting a bit stronger. So then I said to my husband, this might be it, as he was going to bed. He managed to fall asleep in 2 seconds.
Man.
It was like, great. Wake me up if anything happens.
Mm.
And I tried to sleep, because by that point I had a feeling, this is it. And I think I kind of dozed on and off. And then around 3 a.m., I got up because I thought, I can't really sleep anymore. It was getting a bit more uncomfortable lying down. So I went downstairs, And I suddenly got really hungry. I remember that, like starving. And I ate something. And what felt like quite quickly, these contractions started getting heavier, but totally manageable. And at that point, I downloaded for the first time the Freya app and used that to listen to that and got on the yoga ball, put my head down and just worked through the breathing with that. And quite quickly, the app tells you you're in established labour. So I thought, oh, cool, great. My husband came down around 5:30 or 6, and he said, should I tell Anne and Jessica? I said, yeah, probably tell them they're this many minutes apart. I can't really remember what it was. And then really from that point on, I feel like I just went into my own space because I remember you and Jessica arriving, and I remember you being there, but I was very much in my own world. I still had headphones in. I was still working through the contractions on the ball myself. Even to the point, I remember a couple of days later, my husband mentioned something about croissants and toast and bread. And I was like, what? He was like, yeah, we all sat down and had breakfast. You were elsewhere. Me and Anne and Jessica had breakfast because you had brought breakfast round. Yeah. I was unaware. And then I remember you suggested taking a shower, which felt really nice. But I remember in the shower having quite a strong contraction at that point. Jessica checked me when she first came, and I think I was at 3 centimeters, which I was super happy about. I know lots of women don't like to be checked because they just want to concentrate and not have any distractions and not be disheartened if it's a low number of dilation. But actually for me, it gave me a motivation, and I thought, yeah, I like to know where I'm at. And then, yeah, we carried on just downstairs in our living room with the contractions, which for me, they were uncomfortable. But actually, I always say to people, it's less a pain and it was more like a just really intense. It's definitely a wave, a very, very powerful wave. But it's something that I don't know if you can kind of get through the peak of it, then it's totally fine. Yes, and then at one point we started talking about getting the birth pool ready.
Yes.
Which, this is where it's very important to have partners prepped, because I had said to my husband, we need to make sure the birth pool's ready, you're in charge of that, you need to know how to do it. And he kind of brushed it off and said, it's like a paddling pool, like I know how to do that. And we had a problem with the pump. Do you remember?
Yes.
So at first there was the batteries of the pump weren't working. So my husband had to go out on a Sunday to try and find new batteries.
Did it with my manual pump.
Oh, I didn't know that. So the pump never worked.
No, I think we did it with the manual one and everybody was, oh, that goes quickly.
Oh, good. And then I remember Chris having problems connecting the hose.
Yeah, it was kept on coming
off. So he again went out to try and find like a DIY store to try and find a connection for the tap. So I definitely recommend trialing that before, because I remember being aware of this and kind of rolling my eyes and thinking, this is typical, and kind of being annoyed, but also thinking, I don't really care, whatever. I'm not going to get involved in this. This is everyone else's problem, not mine.
Yes.
Which is why it's so nice to have a team when you can just forget about that responsibility. So anyway, eventually we got in the pool, which felt really nice. But it's interesting how you can do all the preparation for birth, but actually you still have to be so open to everything changing. Because for me, I had this vision like, oh yeah, the birth pool would be really nice. I love water. It's going to be really relaxing, which it was. But there was also a stress getting it ready and organized. And also when I was in there, it wasn't super comfortable because I felt like the sides were a bit high. And I remember thinking, oh, this isn't like the dream. Mm, it's yeah, nice, but yeah, it was, I just kind of went with the flow, like, oh, this feels nice for a bit, but I don't think I'll stay here for too long. Also, it was January and our house was really cold. Yes, I wanted to say
it was winter.
It was. We had every heater going and it was freezing that day.
Yes.
And so it got cold quite quickly. So I was in the pool for a bit and I remember actually throughout all of these contractions and in the pool as well, really from the moment they started very early on in the morning, I really remember just being able to sleep in between the contractions.
Yes, I remembered it, yeah.
And so I feel like actually that's kind of why I wasn't aware of anything else going on with you, Jessica, or my husband, is because I could just sleep, wake up for a contraction, and go back to sleep.
Yeah.
Even when it was 3 minutes.
Yes.
It was incredible.
Micro mini sleeps in between, yes.
Micro naps. And I remember doing that a lot in the pool, being really relaxed. But as such, which this can often happen with water, being in the birth pool, is the labor slowed down a little bit.
Yeah, it did slow down, but I think it gave you a little bit of a rest and a break as well.
I think it gave me the rest and the break I needed. And I think after that, you maybe gave me something to eat.
Yes, we did, because we saw you needed a little bit of energy.
Because at that point I hadn't eaten. I ate when I first came downstairs, but then I'd actually thrown up I'd eaten before you got there. So I obviously hadn't eaten since the night before, and by this time it was later on in the afternoon. I needed the energy. But then when Jessica checked me again, she said I was like 9.5, mm-hmm, nearly 10. There was just a little bit of the cervix left. And she suggested just changing position a bit, because this is, again, another example of how you can do all the preparation, but you also never know, if it's your first birth especially, you never know how your body will react or how you'll feel or what you want and what you don't want. So a lot of the contractions I'd done when I was leaning forwards, and Jessica suggested trying up different positions. I think that's when we used the rebozo a bit, maybe some side lying on the sofa, mixing it up a bit, really. And then when Jessica checked again, she suggested that I started trying to push with the next contraction.
And your water broke?
And my water broke as well. So before that, I'd had, at some point when the contractions had been getting stronger, then I'd lost my mucus plug.
Mm-hmm.
Then my waters broke. So at first, pushing didn't feel so productive. I kind of took a while to find the right position. In the end, we used the sofa, which has a corner. It's a corner sofa. So I was in between. My husband was behind me and Jessica was in front on the floor. That bit was just so vivid to me. I really remember the pushing bit being very relaxed, very kind of in the moment, very present in the room, whereas the contractions, I was very much in my own head, in my own body. When it came to the pushing, it was like, okay, this is a job that needs to get done. And I remember the pushing stage for me was actually quite long.
Yeah, you had a long pushing
and
stage.
And for me, it was the harder bit, rather than contractions where I could sleep and deal with that in my own way. The pushing, I felt, was harder work for me. And I remember getting quite hot and sweaty, and at one point saying to you all, hang on, I need to put my hair up. This is getting serious.
Yes.
So I put my hair up. We did a few more contractions with Jessica actually guiding me to push. So she put her fingers inside the vagina and really helped give me a bit of feedback with that as well, which worked. And then I remember Anne, you saying, hang on, I think you need a bit of energy. I'm going to get you some honey. So I think you fed me a teaspoon of honey. I'd put my hair up and I said, right, I'm fed up with this now. Because by that point, I just was so desperate for my baby to be born.
Mm.
And Jessica had said to me, you'll be feeling the ring of fire now. I can see his head. And she's, I remember her saying, he doesn't have much hair. Anne, come and look, he doesn't have much hair. And I remember thinking, how does he, I've got loads of hair and my husband has loads of hair. Why does he not have much hair? And at that point, the ring of fire for me was a few seconds. It was really nothing. I was expecting it to be longer, but again, just funny. You don't know until you know. And then with a few more pushes, he came out. And we heard the cry. I remember being just really happy. I remember my face almost hurting from smiling.
You were smiling the whole time.
Just grinning, my cheeks. I could feel the smile reach my cheeks. And my husband cried. And I actually, I was expecting to cry as well, but I just felt relief and happiness and just really content. Nico was placed on my chest, and we just admired him. Had some skin to skin time. Jessica checked me first of all, and then she suggested once the umbilical cord had gone white and stopped pulsating, another couple of pushes and the placenta came out. I remember at one point she said, oh, I think it's time we can try and push a bit more to get the placenta. I said, no, I need a break. I need a rest.
No more pushing.
So sick of pushing by that point. But then it came out fine. There was no problems. And then it was lovely. We have some wonderful photos of baby Nico being weighed under the Christmas tree because we still had our Christmas tree.
That was always a vision, no? To have him be born under the Christmas tree.
That was one of my kind of visualizations, is a baby being born under the Christmas tree with the lovely lights. And so that's what we got, which is a really nice. Now it's going to be a tradition because this last Christmas, we have a photo of him in front of the Christmas tree.
Oh, nice.
So I'm hoping we can repeat it every year. So it was just a wonderful experience that we could just be in our own home, on our own sofa, with our baby, and just do skin to skin. And then I remember we all ate some of this fish pie that I had made the day before. And after a while, I walked up to our bedroom where you and Jessica had made the bed and turned the lights on, made it nice and warm, tucked us into bed and left us.
Off we went.
I always say is one of the nicest things about a home birth is that you can be in your own space.
Yeah, definitely.
And you can wake up in your bed, you can relax in your own bedroom, your own house. It's really special.
Thank you for sharing. It was a lovely, I was there, but it was lovely to hear the story again. I think the most amazing thing with you was that I don't remember one point where you were saying through the contractions, like, this is too much, or you stayed really calm the whole time.
That's something that really, again, surprised me. I'd read so much about the transition and I was expecting it.
Yeah.
And I was waiting for it. Yeah. And it just never happened for me.
No, I think with the sleeping in between and staying so calm that, you just went through it. Amazing. Well, thank you a lot. And have a wonderful day. Lovely to see you.
Thanks.
Do you have a positive, empowering birth story you would like to share on the podcast? Please let me know. If you like to prepare for your own birth with me, I offer online prenatal birth preparation sessions. And if you didn't experience a positive birth or suffered from some birth trauma, please reach out to me. I offer birth story rewriting and healing back to the womb sessions. Thank you for listening, and this was Anne Bleu.